19 of Galatians chapter 3 is where we'd like to draw your attention to this morning. Wherefore then serveth the law? Wherefore then serveth the law? The Apostle Paul has, I believe, by the inspiration of God, has asked a question here as he draws near the end of this chapter. And when you consider the contrasts that he has presented all throughout the chapter in regards to faith versus the law, there's a couple of different ways that you can approach the reasoning behind the question. Whenever you consider that he dedicated the first 7 verses of the chapter to the question of asking them how they were beneficiaries of the Spirit, how they were ones that had received the Spirit by the what? Works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He asked them that, and he presents the argument and that they received it through the hearing of faith. Faith better than the law. That's what he's presented. A couple of verses down, if you'll remember, he tells them that the just shall live by faith. And he tells them that immediately after reminding them that the man that is going to live by the law is required to live by every portion of the law. You know, it's kind of convenient every once in a while to kind of say, well, I want to live by the law, but there's certain portions of the law that I like a little more than the other portions. And I'm okay with living by these portions, but these others seem a little bit strict. When you consider the civil law that we live under today, I trust that we can say this with a smile, and I'm getting better at it as I get older and wiser. But I like the laws against theft a whole lot more than I like the ones that are against speeding. Yeah. I don't have a problem with one as far as meeting the requirement of it. As far as I know, that's not something that I'm guilty of. But I kind of wish, you know, every once in a while, whenever I'm in a hurry, I don't like that one regarding the speed as much as I do the other. But whenever you consider the law of God, He tells us in verse 10 that cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of law to do it. All the things. Whosoever keepeth the whole law and yet offendeth in one point is what? Guilty of all. So what is the contrast of the faith and law there? What's better? The just shall live by faith. So once again, faith better than the law. Faith better than the law whenever it came to their reception of the Spirit. Faith better than the law whenever it came to the way that they would live their lives. Faith is better. You come down to the things in which we mentioned last week regarding the covenant. And the Scripture shows us that there was a covenant that was revealed unto Abraham. A covenant with the seed of Abraham. A unilateral covenant with the seed of Abraham that the Scripture tells us was 450 years before the law. Now the covenant was made before the foundation of the world, but it was confirmed in vision and revealed unto Abraham 450 years before the law. And He says that even though it was given 450 years before the law, it was a covenant that the law could not disannul or add unto. It was a covenant. And He encourages us in that covenant that just He encouraged Abraham to believe, and through these truths that He revealed unto him, He does the same for us, telling us to trust in the covenant that was made and not in the law. Once again, what does He say is better? Faith better than the law. All three of those times, faith wins. Faith wins. It's better. And whenever we consider the law system that He's comparing it unto, it's no different. Even though the requirements thereof, and if you look at the requirements therein, they may not be the exact same, but you can compare it and you can replace it to any legalistic system that man may create and require you to live under. If there is a legal means whereby you are saved to eternal glory, it is the law. It is a legal system. And I'll tell you, friends, each and every time that we see the legal system that is presented, faith is better than that. Faith is the best. Trusting in Jesus is the best. He's presented this. I believe He's made a pretty good argument, don't you? I may have failed in my presentation of His arguments, but blame that on me. Paul has defended his point well. He's done it well. And so you arrive down at verse 19, and he asks a question, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" And there's two ways that you can take this question. And I'm not telling you, you know, if some of my followers in the ministry heard the way that I'm going to present this, if they don't give me time, just in the initial sentence, they may say, "Brother Will, you know, the way that Brother Joe Holder words it is, he says, don't leave a text on its all fours. Make it walk." In other words, you make it stand up and you make it stand on its own. I'm not presenting it as two different things and saying that it could be either one. I'm going to look at it in the form of two different questions, both pointed towards the same entity. Someone who is young in the faith may read these verses that Paul has presented and see that faith is much better than the law. They may come to the conclusion that the Lord revealed faith unto Abraham before He ever gave the law, and now He's wrapping up the law and telling us how faith is better than the law again. They may read these things and see that by the hearing of faith that we receive the spirit of fellowship with the Lord, and that we'll live by that faith, that the just will live by faith. And you know what the question may be that pops into their head? What was the whole purpose of the law anyway? You know, that's a valid question, is it not? To someone, whenever you show them how much better faith is than that system is, why was it ever presented? Why even I believe I counted this morning, if you start there in Exodus chapter 20, whenever the law was given unto Moses upon that mount, that my Bible, there's 850 pages from there to the end of the law dispensation, which ended with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which ended with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got some 850 pages of Scripture in the Old Testament whereby these ones, they lived under that law. You ever made a comparison between the amount of Scripture that's dedicated to teach you about the law service versus other things in the Scriptures that we read that we consider to be very important in the church? Now, I'm not telling you that means that the law is more important, but I'm just telling you that the law is an important part of this book that we look to as being our source of standard of truth. It's a good portion of this book. They may come to the conclusion and say, if faith is this much better, why ever present the law? Why even worry about the law? So if the Lord will be with us, I want to look at that way to read this question and answer it in three different contexts. I also want to look at that question and present it from the angle, if you'll turn with me over to Galatians chapter 4, and you look in verse 21, and I'm not getting ahead of myself. I don't think I'm going to skip from today all the way to Galatians 4:21 and pick up next week in Galatians 4:21. But he asked a question again. I believe that you can look at the same way that the question is asked in Galatians 3:19. He says in verse 21 of Galatians chapter 4, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" In other words, you may have somebody that looks at it and says, knowing that faith trumps the law each and every time, why is it even part of what we learn about? Another way to examine the question is, when you look at faith versus the law, why would you ever want a legalistic system as opposed to trusting in the Lord? Why would you ever want that? Knowing that faith is so much better, why would you ever want to go back to a legalistic means whereby your trust is in yourself? Any legalistic system that is established, if it falls back on you and is required of you to do something, your faith and your confidence is in yourself. It doesn't matter how you present it to someone and say that I couldn't do it except the Lord be with me. I couldn't have done it unless the Lord made me do it, and so on and so forth. If it falls back upon you, it is still dependent upon you, and your faith is in yourself. It's not in the Lord. Each and every time I hear the legalistic system presented by man and I hear the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to walk more and more in the path of faith. I don't want to go back into a law system. I don't want to see righteousness in myself. I want to see it in the Lord Jesus Christ. So wherefore then serveth the law? Why would you want that? People say, well, you know, I believe Paul does a good job not only in defending faith versus the law. I believe Paul does a good job of just putting the question out there in a way in which it needs to be asked. I don't mean to get political on you, and I know I say that, and I do it often, but in a way, isn't it good every once in a while to hear somebody that's in a role of authority finally say what everybody knows needs to be said anyway? You ever get done hearing somebody speak and say, what were they really trying to say? It sounded like they were against it, but they really weren't willing to say they were. Isn't it nice whenever somebody just finally just lays it out there, and you know the way that he thinks about that situation? You know that what he says is wrong, and what he says is right is right. Well, Paul asked these questions to get right to the heart of the issue. He didn't just beat around the bush. Wherefore then serveth the law? So two ways that you can examine this question, and I believe that both of them are going to point you in the same direction. I trust that I'm not leaving it on its all fours, that it is standing whenever we finish these thoughts this morning. Wherefore then serveth the law? Whenever you consider the first avenue that I presented to you in regards to why it was even there. Why would it even be there, knowing that faith is better? Wherefore then serveth the law, he says in the same verse of Scripture, because of transgression. There's the answer. Why was it presented? He said, because of transgression. Read with me in verse 19. He said, it was added because of transgressions. He said, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. He said, it was added because of transgressions. You see, if you'll remember even the words of the Apostle Paul, whenever he speaks of the Lord dealing with him and changing him, whenever he tells us that he was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. It's in Romans chapter 7, whenever he gives his experience of whenever he was given life. Here's a man that was raised under the law of God. What does the scripture say in regards to the written law of God, in regard to what he considered it to be? He said, I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now you tell me, the law was given to Moses. Man had been around for a long time before God had given that law unto Moses. Now you tell me, had there never been a man that had ever coveted anything or had ever lusted for anything prior to it being given unto Moses on that mount? We don't believe that, do we? Covetousness had been around. Man had coveted. That had been examples of covetousness that you could go back and you could see in the Old Testament. You can see that it was covetousness that drove the brothers of Joseph to do what they did to him, was it not? It was because they were jealous of what he had over what they had. There was a sin that was presented in what those men did. Now, so what does the law give us? The law presents the term that is associated with covetousness. It tells us, thou shalt not covet. Whenever the scripture tells us that whenever Moses was in the mountain, he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There Moses is in the mount, and the Lord is speaking unto him, and he's putting these laws upon the stony tablets. And whenever those laws are being written, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Before that law was given unto Moses, there was no such thing as a man being guilty of creating his own gods, was there? That sin wasn't around. It had to first be presented in the law before it existed, right? No. It was added because of transgression, so that these people would see that God is speaking and is telling us visibly. They felt it in their heart that it was wrong, but he's telling them visibly, here is this sin, and it's called idolatry. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. While he's up there telling him to write it upon these stones, they're down there making one at the same time. They're down there melting their gold and melting their jewelry and committing the same very sin at the same time. This was added because of the transgression, so that they would visibly see. God says, this is wrong. Consider the Egyptians, who they've already been delivered out of the hand of, by the hand of the deliverer of God, in what he sent Moses down there to do. You couldn't read through the history of Egypt. You can't read through the plagues in which God sent forth unto Egypt and come to the conclusion that mankind had not created to himself gods. That Nile River was a god to those Egyptians. That Nile River, they worshipped it. They thought that all their source of life came from that Nile River. Here's our water. Here's what we fertilize with. Here's what we water our crops with. Here's everything that we need in life is this Nile River. And I tell you what God did. He showed them that the sustainer and the giver of life has power over that river, and he turned it into blood. He turned it into blood. Whenever you consider the sun god that they worshipped, whenever you consider the sun god Baal, it was the god of the sun. Well, I tell you, we worship the S-O-N God and not the S-U-N God. And the Lord showed him, he has power over the sun. He sent a plague of darkness upon him to show that thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am stronger than any god. It was added because of transgression, so that they would have in their minds what they already felt condemned to be wrong in their hearts. Whenever Cain slew Abel, it was murder. And even though he had not written that upon the table of the law, whenever it was given to Moses, it was guilty way back when, but it was added because of transgressions, whereby these people would have knowledge of right and wrong more than what's just here, but what's here. There's a purpose behind it. That was the best they had. You ever heard somebody tell a story to you about the olden days and in a way, you know, every once in a while we may get it in our heads, we want to go back to the olden days until we hear somebody tell us a story about what it was really like. And I tell you what, it's nice when you turn the water spigot on just for water to come out. You know, you don't have to send the youngins out to go draw up a pail of water. But just because, I'm sure they were thankful to be able to have a well to draw it up out of. It was the best they had then. Just because it's the best they had then doesn't mean we're to walk in it anymore. There's a better system now. There's something that's better now. This law was given because of transgression, so that these people would have a written code of God and a written law of God, and they would be able to establish whereby right was right and wrong was wrong. So it was added because of transgression. What about the, you know, but consider what their system was under that, under the transgressions that were committed. The scripture tells us that under those transgressions and under the things that God considered to be sin, that they had a service whereby that they would have to go and to make an offering for the sins that they had committed. They would have to go and they would have to bring of something of their possession, bring it to the person of the high, it was in the office of the high priest, have them to go forth in accordance with the law and perform the services on behalf of the transgression that had been committed. That was the system that God had established. Whenever you consider the second question, and that is, wherefore then serveth the law? Whenever you consider transgressions is the answer in regarding to why it was ever given in the first place, you've also got to consider transgressions as far as the reason why faith is better than the law. Why would you want to go back to the law whenever the transgressions are given unto us and we're blessed to be able to be in a dispensation of time whereby you deal with transgressions much, much different than what they had in the Old Testament law system? I believe it's Hebrews 10 in verse 3 that the scripture says that in those sacrifices there is a remembrance made of sin every year. They had a system whereby in these transgressions it was just a remembrance of sin each year. That was what they had. That's the best they had, was the remembrance of their sins. And they were to come and they were to offer, have an offering made on behalf of those sins. Go with me to Luke chapter 5 and let's see what we have under the faith system versus what they had under the law system. The context here is Jesus is preaching. And scripture tells us that he saw two ships at the early part of Luke chapter 5. That he saw two ships standing by the lake, and there was no fishermen in them, and so he entered into one and kind of cast him out a little bit from the shore there and created himself a pulpit. And he had people there listening, and he began to preach unto them. It says he sat down and taught the people out of the ship in verse 3. You know, it doesn't record a whole lot of what was said in regards to this message. But whenever he was done speaking, it says in verse 4 that he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, here's one of these cases where someone who's been told to do something by the Lord wants to make sure that the Lord is aware of everything that's happened. I can assure you that whenever the Lord tells you to do something, He doesn't need you to rehearse the steps that has brought you to this point after He gives you a command. He's not in need to be reminded about what has taken place to this point. But Peter did that. And I believe that the scriptures plainly record that he did it so that we could see in the following verses why Peter did what he did after the Lord manifested this miracle in their presence. Is he reminds him that they've been fishing all night and they've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. Nevertheless, mm-hmm. I'll do what you told me to do.
Yeah. Amen.
You know how many times we've tried things our own way and they've come up unfruitful over and over again. And we've tried and it doesn't bring forth any fruit whatsoever. Whenever it comes down to it, and the scripture records here that Peter has seen his own inability to be able to have success here. Nevertheless, at thy word, yeah, I'll let down thy net. Because I want to tell you, the Lord's never told you to let a net down that He didn't intend to put something in whenever you drew it back up.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. Is whenever He let down the net, that when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their first partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. You know, I've been in a boat with Brother Lloyd Taylor before it started to take on water. We went fishing with him, and I remember the battery that was running the bilge pump went bad, and we went to trying to rig up to get the wire to the other battery, and we started taking on a little water, and you know, we had to take a bucket and try to get it out as fast as it was coming in. I was glad when Brother Lloyd said, "I think we need to go ahead and go back to the truck." I was glad to hear those words. And we had enough water in there that whenever we finally got the motor running, it was a little heavy in the back, so we had to sit up towards the front and see if we could get it to plane down a little bit. This wasn't the time we took our youngest fishing, Sister Allison. That was me and Brother Sam in there. I believe it was that time, in case Allison's wondering if we're going to sink with the youngins in there. But this boat was not about to sink because it was taking on water. This boat was about to sink because God had blessed the efforts of Simon Peter to come forth and to do what the Lord is about to send him forth to do. Boy, that's like seeing in the days of Gideon, whenever the Lord blessed him to be able to have the blanket dry with the dew around it, and then the next night to have the blanket wet and the land dry around it. Here he's revealing unto Peter, "I'm about to call you forth and make you a fisher of men, and look, whenever I'm involved, the blessings that can come forth." It filled up that boat to the point where they both began to sink. And you say, what is the reason of this? Is it was Peter, he lacked faith. He lacked trust in the Lord whenever the Lord had come forth and had told him to do this. And what is the result? It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." I want to tell you, whenever the Lord came on the scene and he began to preach the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, the reaction to the sin and the one that they could go to was much better than what they had in the old. Here he fell down at the feet of the source of the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And I tell you, little Lamb of God, whenever we consider, well, why then serveth you the law? Whenever we consider how much better faith is than the law, the same exists today. You have direct access to the feet of the Lord. And you can fall down at those feet. We don't require that you bring forth a lamb and that you bring it forth to me and me offer it for you as if I'm some type of a mediator between you and him. You can fall at his feet just like Simon Peter did, because the Lord came and he gave us faith. Now, faith is, you say, faith was not around until the Lord Jesus preached. No, faith has been around since he gave it to the first man. But I want to tell you, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, it opened the eyes of things that they didn't have back then.
Yeah.
They didn't have it. I'm not telling you this to lift you up this morning, but the last point we're going to go through, because that's point one. We got two more. The last point you're going to go through is he considers this law to be a schoolmaster.
Yeah.
Schoolmaster.
Yeah.
In other words, it's bringing you to something.
Bring
you to some knowledge that previously didn't exist. Hebrews chapter 11 reminds us that with us, that they should be made perfect, those saints over in the Old Testament. That without God, what Jesus gave in the new, you can't even shed light on what took place in the old, but Jesus brought it forth in the new so that it's revealed the things of the old. Why then serveth the law? Whenever you ask the question, whenever you consider the first avenue that we went through is what was the purposes of it? Transgressions. Why then serveth the law? And wherefore then serveth the law? Boy, sometimes when you say it one time, you're going to repeat it 12 before you get it right. Wherefore then serveth the law? And by the way, you can let me know whenever I miss one of those words. I don't want to miss them. I want to read them just like you have them on there. Wherefore then serveth the law? And whenever we consider how much better faith is than the law, why then would you want to return to the law? You've got Jesus revealed in the faith once delivered unto the saints. Why would you want to return to the law, which is a type and shadow of the one that was the very fulfillment of that law? You not only should consider here in Galatians chapter 3 that it was given because of transgression. It was given so that we would understand righteousness. See, look down in the next verse. Excuse me, verse 21. He reminds us then, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. See, I remember early when the Lord began to bless me to see some things in His Word. I remember whenever you read through the first four books of the New Testament and you see Jesus' rebuke of the scribes and of the Pharisees that existed during that day. And you see spirit, because I believe it was righteous anger towards them and the things that they were doing. At one point in time, I came to the conclusion that the law was bad. Look at how Jesus is speaking unto the ones that have the law. Well, first of all, they didn't have the law. They had a perversion of the law that they had sort of left out what they wanted to and kept what they enjoyed. And that's the reason why the Lord rebuked it. Make no mistake about it, whenever you read about that law, you're not reading about something that's bad. You're reading about a mode of righteousness.
Amen.
That is a righteous law. If you want to know the means whereby God considers something to be righteous, you look at that law, because that law reveals righteousness. Is the law therefore against the promises of God? God forbid. Why? He said, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. If it's up to man to make ourselves righteous, don't take me to John 3:16. Don't take me to verses like that. You take me back to the law and you show me in the law that God gave and the law that God has recorded here in this book, and you tell me it by those means that you've become righteous yourself, because that's the means whereby life could be given if it's in and of ourselves, is through that law. Why was the law given? Why was the law given whenever we consider what is the purpose of it anyway? So that we would not only know transgression, so that we would have a mind understanding of righteousness. Because not only does that law speak of things that are wrong, it tells us of things that are right. Honor thy father and mother. Is that not a commandment that's given? I know I'm just mentioning the commandments. You could dig down in some of the deeper parts of the law. Whenever you consider what is right, Whenever you consider, if you want to dig a little bit deeper in some of the other portions of the law, whenever you consider the law of the leper, and you consider that whenever the Lord healed that leper, what did He require of that man to do? To come forth and to make a sacrifice for what God had done for him, thereby telling him what's right. You've been healed. Offer sacrifices for what the Lord has done for you. Thus, those are things that not only tell us about what's wrong, they tell us about what's right. You remember over in the New Testament, whenever the Lord healed those 10 lepers, what did He tell them to do after He healed them? He said to go forth in the manner of the law of Moses and to offer the sacrifice in accordance with that law, because that was what was right to do. When somebody does something for you, it's right for you to give thanks in return for what they've given to you. Not only was the law given for transgression, it was given to show us righteousness. That's just, you know, you remember when the Lord did that, and I know I'm summarizing for the purposes of time. You remember how many of them turned around and gave thanks unto the Lord for healing them? Whenever He healed 10, how many of them turned around? All 10 of them did. Which is thereby shows us that everyone that has been cleansed of sin will turn and acknowledge the Lord for what He's done for. Every one of them did. All 10 of them turned and said, "Thank you, Jesus, for healing me." Oh no. 9 of them went on about their way. There was one that turned and gave thanks. And He asked him, "Where are the 9? He didn't ask him that because he didn't know where the 9 were. He asked him that so that you and I would consider, are we part of the 9 or are we part of the 1? If you consider yourself to be cleansed of sin this morning, are you part of the 9 or are you part of the 1? Where are the 9? It's righteous and it's right to turn and to give thanks unto the Lord for what He's done for you. That's what church is. It's not just a place where you come and, you know, if you got a new suit and think I look pretty good in it whenever I look at myself in the mirror. You know, me and Allison were joking the other day about how, you know, I don't think I have a self-image problem, because when I look in the mirror, I say, "Man, I'll tell you what, that suit looks pretty good." And then I get a picture. I'm like, "Man, you mean it's that much girth around the waist area? There's that much there? I didn't see it whenever I looked in the mirror." But you know, whenever you consider the purposes to come and to worship the Lord, it's not because of any sort of vanity or any sort of vain means. It's to give thanks to God for what He's done for you. It teaches you about righteousness. That's what that law was given, so that they would perform things that God considered to be righteous. Wherefore then serveth the law? What was the purpose of it? To teach us about what is righteous. Adam knew what was righteous. All the way back to the beginning of time, it was not as if man didn't innately have it whenever the Lord gave them life, but He added some terminology to it so that we would understand it better. Wherefore then serveth the law? Other path. Knowing that faith is better than the law. Knowing that your righteousness, to teach us about righteousness. Oh boy. If you don't remember a thing I said this morning, whenever you depart from here, you remember this. Whenever you consider faith versus the law, what you have in faith and what you have whenever the Scripture tells us in the New Testament about the one who came and is our righteousness. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you hear about this man, that even though you're a wretched sinner and He's a holy, the holy Son of God, this man loved you and came and gave His life for you so that you would be righteous. So that you'll be before the eyes of God as if you have never sinned. You know, the Scripture tells us in Galatians chapter 2, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. The more you see Jesus in this book, the more you should see yourself as unable to do. The more you should see yourself as unable to perform what is required to make you righteous. But oh, you'll see the one that is able and the one that did do the work. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If while you seek to be justified by the law, you're going to find yourself condemned every time. But whenever you seek to be justified by Christ, you're not only found to be a sinner. You're a found sinner. Boy, that's good, isn't it? That ain't mine. That's the Lord's. He didn't put to be a sinner in there. He said, you yourselves are found sinners. We sing a hymn that's called Amazing Grace that says, I was lost, but now I'm found. Whenever you see that justification that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not just an alien sinner anymore. You're given proof that you're a found sinner.
Yeah.
And praise be unto the Lord that the Scripture tells us that the Apostle Paul was the chief of them. And that the Lord came into the world to save those that are sinners. And whenever you seek to be justified by Christ, whenever you see Him for who He is, and He being your form of righteousness, wherefore then serveth the law? Why would you want to go back whenever you have Jesus as your righteousness? I don't want to go back. You know, the Lord's, you know, whenever I say I don't want to go back, I don't consider myself to have ever been under a legal system to believe it was by means to save me. But I want to tell you, I don't want to go to one. I want to stay more and more in the one that tells me that He is my righteousness. Jesus Christ is the one that fulfilled this law. He was the one to a jot and to a tittle. He kept it just like His Father gave it to Him. Not only did His Father give it to Him, I believe He had a little piece in the writing of it too, don't you? I believe He did. He knew the standard that He was going to be measured up to whenever the covenant was made. And he met it directly on and fulfilled it just right. He is that righteousness. Why was the law given? Wherefore then serveth the law? It was not only given to show us righteousness when somebody made it consider the purposes of it. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why would you want to return to it as opposed to stay in faith? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in faith. He's given unto us these things so that Jesus is better. The whole book of Hebrews is dedicated towards teaching us and confirming in us that Jesus is better. Last reason. The Scripture tells us that I'm going to read down through. No, I'm not. I'm going to skip because I can. And I'll come back if the Lord puts something on my mind to preach from these other verses. Lord, bless me. I'll be an old man standing up here. I have plenty of time to get to Galatians 5:22 or Galatians 3:22 and 23. And I'll remind y'all on 11:19-17, I preached from Galatians chapter 3 and I skipped two verses. And now I'm about to go back and catch up on those two verses I skipped. I'm going to go to verse 24. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. I want you to consider something for just a second. It may be that whenever you read that term schoolmaster, you may be under the impression that schoolmaster is the same one as the teacher. Schoolmaster, teacher, being the same person. But verse 25 is going to make you struggle with that interpretation of that definition, won't it? Because if schoolmaster is the teacher and is the same one, that meaning Jesus, and that meaning God, then when faith comes, you're not under God anymore. that won't work, will it? No. A schoolmaster is one that, until the point of maturity, he's in charge of tending to the child. Schoolmaster is the one that, until the point of maturity, is the one in charge of just tending to that child. You may want to look at it like one that is responsible for. He drives your kids to school. He's the school bus driver. And while he's on the bus with the kids, he begins to speak to them about all the things that they're going to learn at school that day. begins to tell them about what awaits them at school. Now you tell me, is that bus driver going to tell them everything that they're going to learn when they get at school? Or is he just going to kind of bring forth some things until they get to school where they're going to be taught? That sounds a little more like what the schoolmaster and the bus driver is going to do, tending to them in the meantime. Why was the law given? What was the purposes of the law? It being a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It was what God gave for a dispensation of time. And it was what God gave unto the children, for a measure of time to bring them into a new dispensation of time. It sustained them. You know, if they would have stayed in it, Israel would have been just fine if they'd have just stayed under what God gave them. But they didn't stay under. They, as being a child and doing what children do, they didn't stay under what the Lord had given them. It was a schoolmaster. Is one that brought them to a certain point. That was what that law was given for. It was given until to bring us unto Christ. Whenever we consider what we have, why, wherefore then serveth the law? If the law is the schoolmaster and it's something just to bring you to Him, why would you want to return now that you're in the school? Now that you're with the teacher, being taught perfectly about, not me, by the way, my teaching is not perfect. But in this school, in this context, this teacher's perfect. This faith that he gave us is just right. There's not one thing that needs to be added to it. There's not one thing that needs to be taken away from it. If you're in the school, if you're in the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, if you're trusting in the one that did all these things for you, why do you want to return to the mode whereby you're just given something to just until you get to that new age, until you get to that new dispensation of time? He tells us down in chapter 4, but when the fullness of time was come, you see, that's the time whereby the schoolmaster got us to. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under a law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's what fulfilled that dispensation of time, is whenever He arrived and He preached these truths. Are they precious to you? Could I, as your pastor, ever tell you enough about the sinner that you are and about the righteous Savior that you have and that He saved you? Can I ever tell that enough where you get tired of hearing it more and more and more again? We're blessed if we have arrived. The schoolmaster has brought you unto Christ. It was there to shine a light forward. It drove you right to the door. Brought them right there. It brought you right to the door of the one that was about to enter into this next dispensation of time, whereby you have received this faith and whereby you have the means to have trust in the one that did it for you. I like riding a bus. I'm beginning to wonder if next time they have a Gov deal sale on a school bus up here, that it probably wouldn't be a good investment for us to try to, if they saw our car out there. I tell you what, it'd be nice to have a little spare room. I think we could take about the first 10 or 12 seats out of the back and mount us a TV in. I like riding a bus. I may venture to tell you that as far as a natural means, I'd rather be on the bus than in a school room. But whenever it comes to spiritual things, I don't want to just have that schoolmaster. I'm thankful that I'm in the room with the teacher, aren't you? I'm thankful that the Lord's blessed me to be able to come in contact with the one that's all source of knowledge. He's got all knowledge. I believe He's given you every bit that He ever wants you to have right here in this book. If I ever preach to you that He's revealed something to me that's not in here, y'all do my family a favor and yourselves and tell me to have a seat. He's given it every bit right here. He's given it just right there. And that's what we have. That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That law, there was a purpose in it. It brought us to something. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why would you ever want to return to the old when He's blessed you to be a part of the new? There's plenty of people that would rather live in the old, and they do. And I'm not speaking ugly about them this morning. I would that the Lord would, if I don't say this to say that I desire the attention. It would have suited me just fine if I'd have lived out my life doing exactly what you're doing right now. But I would to the Lord that if the Lord would bless me one time to preach to a stadium full of people and tell them about God's grace and to see every single one of them grasp a hold of it and to say He died for me. My faith is in Him, not in myself. I believe that He did it for me, and that's all that was required. But I tell you, I'm not going to go back to that old system to try to see if I can drag them out of it. I'm going to stay in the new to see if they're blessed to be able to see from the old into the new. That they would see these things that the Lord has given us. Wherefore then serveth the law? I pray that if you're blessed to be able to see the truth this morning, that's what you desire to walk in. That you don't want to walk in the old, that you don't want to walk in under a legal means, but you want to walk in the faith. That's where I desire to walk, is in the faith of my Savior, that He died for me. The Scripture says, who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Yeah.
I believe it too. I believe with every ounce of my being, Jesus Christ died for me. And I'll tell you this morning, friends. If you have the love of God in your heart this morning, if you feel to be condemned, I'm going to tell you the same condemnation that came upon Simon Peter whenever he saw what the Lord was capable of doing and he saw himself for being the sinner that he was, you still have access to fall at the feet of the Lord. You can fall at His feet. And you can profess your faith in Him as being the one that has delivered you, and you can walk in the new. And you won't serve any more in that old if the Lord will bless you to stay in the new. Wherefore then serveth the law? If the Lord has blessed any of my words this morning, you be careful to give Him all the honor, praise, and glory for it. A good place to go read, I'm not going to go to it, I'm going to close out, but a good place to go read is the end of Hebrews chapter 11. Whenever you see those people in the Old Testament that walk by faith under much less light than what you have this morning, the Scripture reminds us, I am going to go there. He reminds us. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us. Faith better than God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That means that unless without you, their sins are not atoned for, are they? They're not in heaven today without you, are they? Is that what that's saying, that they without us should not be made perfect? No. It's just what you have in the New Testament shines light on what they had in the old, so that you can see what they did under the light that they did. And it, you know, you become a whole lot more merciful, if you will, whenever you see some of the mistakes they made, but yet in the light in which they dwelt. That they, God having provided some better thing for us. Faith is better than the law, friends. I trust that the Lord will bless us to have confidence that we've received the Spirit by that faith, by the hearing of the faith, that we'll walk by faith. And that the Lord will bless us to trust in that covenant that was made on our behalf before the foundation of the world. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Amen. Christ was a building to prepare my banquet hall. It will be there to walls and not laid with hands. Yeah.